Luke chapter 15, verse 11. I'm going to look at two subjects tonight, one in particular, and using the prodigal son as our example. But I'm going to look at repentance and forgiveness. One thing we often find hard to do, and that is to forgive. Well, we sometimes find it hard to repent as well. Yeah, both things. So take a look at these subjects tonight. Luke chapter 15, verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed a fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry, and he would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I should make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. 1 John, chapter 1, and verse 9. 1 John, chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And one more in Ephesians. Chapter 4 and verse 31. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. What a verse. Repentance and forgiveness. When we look at the Old Testament, there are three different words that are given at times for the word forgiveness. One is to cover. Another one is to bear. That is, to take the guilt away. And then the third word is to pardon. And to pardon is used only of God's forgiveness. But when we come to the New Testament, there are a couple of words that are used. And one is the word release, to release. Now, think about that. That's an interesting word. If somebody has sinned against you, has offended you, when they come and confess and you forgive them, it releases them of that guilt that was upon their heart, their shoulders. On the other hand, if we have been of an unforgiving spirit and we forgive, it releases us as well. That can hold us down so heavily. Don't realize sometimes, you know, because we're so upset with the individual, we're just going to make them spend some time thinking about it. But, you know, it's weighed on our shoulders too. It works both ways. So to release, and the other word in the New Testament, to be gracious, to bestow freely forgiveness. There are 5 questions that I'm going to put out here, and we'll try to answer them as we go through. But the first one is, why do I find it hard to forgive? Then secondly, why and when should I forgive? Thirdly, what if I confess, but the offended one won't forgive? Fourthly, how long should I hold a grudge? And fifth, and we often hear this, I can forgive, but I can't forget. So we want to look at those as we go through. Here we have the son. The son was the guilty party, and he is the one that offended. And when there's offense, there's those that are being offended as well. He is the offender. The problem was, give me. And usually, it's this person that gets in the way when we offend somebody. It's usually, if we really look in the mirror, and so with the son, give me, I want, it was all about him. All about his concerns. He didn't stop and think about how it was going to affect others. But we see that he came to repentance. Verse 17 and 18, there is repentance. He said, and when he came to himself, there is repentance. Why? Why was there repentance? Well, why did he come to himself? What brought him around to do this type of thinking? Well, you know, God always has his eye on the wanderer, on the problem. And God also wants the thing corrected. Because it can't do fellow believers any good. It can't do assembly any good when there's friction. And so God was working on this young man. God followed him. And why did he repent? Why did he come to himself? Well, we read that pretty soon he ran out of the money. The very thing, give me my money, he ran out. The very thing he thought was the most important thing in life, God saw to it that he now lost his security. And when he had no money, he had no friends. So let's do it. He had no finances, and he had no friends, and he got right down to where he had no food. And you take all those things away from a person, which God did. And it makes you stop and think, wow, what's going on here? You know, we've gone through it, and we can see others, and they'll make all sorts of excuses why they lost their job and why this happened. But I wonder if they ever think, is God trying to bring you around, bring you back to where you need to be? So God followed, and God worked out conditions. And it's interesting, we'll learn about confession. Confession, he says, he came to himself, and yes, his mind went back home, But he's talking about it, he's praying about it. And you know, with confession or to forgive another, it's so important that we confess to God. We own up to God what our problem is. Be honest with God. And then when we go, as the prodigal son was going to go, we ask God for the grace and the strength and encouragement to talk to the other individual. And why that's so important is this. Okay, the son, I don't know how long he's been gone, but he's been gone quite a while. And we know that the father, he was okay. But the older son wasn't. So, you know, we confess before God, and we think we got it all taken care of, and we're going to go, and I know it takes a lot of nerve to say, I'm sorry, I was wrong. Even husband, wife, brothers and sisters, it's hard to say, I was wrong, I'm sorry. But sometimes when we go, and we feel so good because now we feel like we're ready. And when we say, I'm sorry, we didn't expect to get a reaction like he did from the older brother. Sometimes a reaction isn't as good as what you're going to get. Remember, that person's been offended for some time. They've been upset for a while. And they may not just be willing to respond like you would. So it's so important that when we go to confess, that we do it with the Father. And we ask Him for the grace. And whatever the circumstances are, give me the grace. Because, you know, if something is said by the other one, it's so easy just to, and you're right back into the same problem again. So he speaks to God. He said, I have sinned against God, against heaven. He knows that all sin is against God. And he makes it right with God. And now he moves up. Repentance takes place in the heart. That's something you and I, somebody else repent, we don't know. That takes place in their heart. It's only when they make the move that realize that repentance has taken place. The evidence, the confession of the mouth. And that is true of forgiveness as well. We think that our best example of forgiveness is the Savior on the cross. All that He endured, and yet He was able to say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, because the Lord said, Father, forgive them, are they all forgiven? No, it comes upon repentance. We have that in 1 John 1 and 9. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us. But we need to confess. However, we see with the example of the Lord Jesus, Father, forgive them, that a forgiving spirit, if we have a forgiving spirit, it lays a great groundwork for an individual to come back and confess their wrongdoing. It is far easier to go to a person who you know has a forgiving spirit than to go to one that you know is not quite so easy to forgive. Much easier to go back to one. So we should, if we are the one that needs to forgive, that spirit should be seen within us. The other, just within the families, forgiveness without confession, especially thinking of children, they'll never learn their lesson. Nevertheless, if a child does wrong and you told them not to do it and they've done wrong and you just say, oh, well, it's okay, they're not going to learn. They need to learn that I've done wrong. They need to learn to confess. And then they'll learn the forgiveness as well from the parent. Why do I find it hard to forgive? You know why? In most cases, I find it hard to forgive because I've been hurt. And I am the one. And I'm thinking about, and the one that offended me, that was his problem too. How do we take care of this problem? Paul says it's no longer I, but it is Christ. Yeah. And if we really bought into that truth, if we really lived out that truth, it is no longer I, but Christ, we wouldn't be offended so easy. We wouldn't get our feelings hurt so easy. We would know the strength of the Spirit of God and how to respond to some of those circumstances within life. Why should I forgive? Why should, in this case, why should the Father not forgive? Why should the Father not forgive? And I can't think of any reason why the Father should not forgive its son. However, we can think of excuses. I just wrote down some here. Here is a young lad that's left a family, and we know it's a wealthy family. And so no doubt, the family would have a name within the community. So there's a family name. Shame has been brought on the family name. And the father could be upset with this. It could be that a daughter has left and she comes home pregnant. And mom and dad say, oh, what are we going to do? Are you forgive? Well, we're not. Not to forgive is only an excuse, not a reason. Always we are to forgive. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 31. I'm just going to read it again. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from among you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. And he takes us right to the cross. Takes us back to salvation. Forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Remember, he'll tell us, remember that verse. Remember your condition. Remember where you were. And I forgave you. Matthew chapter 5 and Matthew chapter 18, we have two instances there. Matthew 5 says, if thy brother hath aught against you, that is, you have sinned against him, be reconciled. But in Matthew 18, it says, if thy brother has transgressed against you, he sins against you, go tell him. God puts the onus on each one because God wants these difficulties taken care of. So we just can't sit back and say, well, he's the one that offended me. God says, no. You go and remind him. And then he says, but if you've done it, you still go and get it taken care of. What if I confess, but the offended won't forgive? So you come and you confess to the individual your wrongdoing, and he just won't forgive. The person will not forgive you. What do? You have done exactly what God has asked you to do. And now the onus is on the other individual. What do? You pray for him or her, whatever it might be. Don't be upset. Pray for them. Pray that God will keep your own heart out of a heart of love toward them. Yeah. So the responsibility lies on the other person. they need to forgive. You may go back again. You may take another with you to try to correct the situation that has happened. But it's our responsibility, if we have upset somebody, that we go and confess. And we confess in a Christ-like way. We don't say, if you weren't so dumb, I wouldn't have done that. No. We never like to take the blame. But I was wrong. I'm sorry. Yeah. How long? Or when do we forgive? When did the Father forgive? You know when the Father forgave? I think He forgave that boy when he walked out the door. It says the Father was always looking for him. Father was expecting him back. Soon after it happened, the Father forgave. And if we can have that spirit within us, we will have a right attitude toward that individual. We will be praying for them. And when the time comes, if that person comes to confess, we will be in the right spirit to extend a heart of forgiveness. What should the attitude be of the offended? As with the Father, to be watching, to be praying, to be compassionate. We think of Joshua and Achan as God revealed the problem of what Achan had done. He brought a sin upon the whole camp. And I like what Joshua said to him as it was revealed. Joshua said, "My son." And what a wonderful attitude. My son. He always upheld him. But there was the unforgiving older son. How long shall I hold a grudge? Now he was holding a grudge. He was upset with that son from the time he left. What good did it do his heart as he held that grudge? A grudge is not part of the fruit of the Spirit. And so as he held that grudge, when the boy came back, he was in no condition to forgive him because he didn't have a forgiving spirit. What was his problem? What do we see? He said to his father, "How long have I been with you? I've worked for you. I've done this." He was occupied with self again. All that he said was right. But it was all about himself. Isn't that interesting that each time there's a problem, it is this person that creates it. He had no forgiveness. There was no fellowship that he wanted to be with his brother. There was no love. He was self-centered. And he was making accusations. He said to his father, "This thy son has come back." He wouldn't even acknowledge him as his brother. He wouldn't call him by name. "This thy son." No love with the older brother. Holding a grudge. I'm going to take you back to Ephesians and chapter 4 again. How long should I hold a grudge? Well, let's look at this chapter or verse 31. First of all, remember, verse 30 says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness..." So bitterness begets wrath. And wrath produces anger. And anger brings about clamor. And clamor is evil speaking, so forth. And clamor brings about evil or chronic speaking, slander. And brings about just evil thoughts within the individual. Malice is spite and hatred. So, how long do I hold a grudge? When we make coffee at our place, we make coffee on a percolator. Put it on the stove and get that fire going high. And you wait for quite a little while and finally it begins to perk. And the water starts coming up into that little bubble on top of the coffee pot. And as it begins to perk, the water is clear at the very beginning. Now, I learned from Joni's grandpa, Kazen, 4 minutes. When that begins to perk, 4 minutes. And when it's 4 minutes, you turn it down and you let it simmer and then you pour your coffee. Okay? So that clear water, as it starts, it's clear. But pretty soon it starts to turn coffee color, which is what it's supposed to do because the water is coming up to the coffee grounds. It falls back through the coffee ground, back to the water again, and back up again. And pretty soon you got coffee, okay? Now, coffee is good when it's at the right strength. However, let that thing perk. What are you going to have? It's like a grudge. When we hold the grudge, we let it cook. And we become more bitter. And nobody wants bitter coffee. You can put cream in it, you can put sugar in it, and it doesn't matter. It just... And that's what happens to us. And it is not the fruit of the Spirit being produced, but it's the works of the flesh. When we let a grudge and bitterness continue to perk within our lives. The only solution is on our knees before God. We have to take it before God. We have to act and react in the power of the Spirit of God in these situations. But you can see how a family can be divided, an assembly can be divided when somebody allows a grudge to just continually work, not to have a forgiving spirit, but holding that grudge. One other thought, and that is, always, if you've been offended, somebody has upset you, always show kindness to that individual. Again, it shows them that you have a forgiving spirit. When the time comes to chat about it, that's good, but shake their hand. Always show kindness. So repentance and forgiveness. Somebody has said, he who has mastered the grace of forgiveness is far more triumphant than he who has managed to see that no wrong is going to be gone unavenged. And again, a quote, when you are forgiven, someone must pay. And the one who forgives is the one who pays. God forgives, God paid, God gave his son. Charles Swindoll, he said, the only solution I have found to retaliation, that is to getting even, and revenge, payback. The only way I've been able to get past blame and resentment at his anger and bitterness. And the only antidote, or the only cure, for secret, smoldering feelings of rage from the pain of the past is forgiveness. To be able to forgive. And so we trust that these few thoughts on repentance and forgiveness will encourage us. One thing that we don't know about tomorrow. And it could happen to any one of us. Before the day is out, tomorrow, next week, happen at work, how do we act? And how do we react?